the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. At this present time, things are getting cold out. That it has that feeling in the air, just when the leaves are coloring and dropping and everything. Yeah, it's just more of a time to relax, get the campfire going. When, in other words, we're not being singed by the sun. Presently, we have a temperature of a comfortable 60 degrees and a low dipping down to around 52 degrees. So it's a very, very comfortable time here, and in the chosen land as well. We'll have to look up the weather, see how things are doing over there, but it's certainly not snowing yet. That'd be after the last great day, if at all. Zechariah 14 summons us to an annual convocation, Sukkoth, or the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. It is further meaningful to us believers in the New Covenant because Yahweh has sent his Son, born of a virgin, but Messiah, to tabernacle with men, is found written in the book of Luke, chapter 2. We are invited to sup with Yahweh, have supper at each feast and at the future feasts in New Jerusalem. Just imagine a man at the feast only being able to go up once a year to Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkoth. You're walking up to the feast. He invites you to stop by for a moment to his campfire briefly for a little cup of drink and fellowship. He awaits another full year to fellowship with the king. He says, come with me, I'm going to go up today and see Yahweh Hosha, the Messiah. You say, well, I've seen him every day of the year, but this is a special time. I will go up with you, Dick. I'll go up there, Richard, I would call him, up to the Feast of Tabernacles, and bring you a cup of hot drink there, too, with you. It's a chilly out this time of year. Obedient brethren, enjoy the judgments, the privileges. The judgments are privileges not only at the joyful Feast of Tabernacles, but at every precious moment with our Savior. Praise Yahweh! What unmerited favor, what joy unspeakable, what privileges to walk in His Torah with His commandments, statutes, and judgments at the appointed times in Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus, or in the proper order, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It talks about the feasts in every one of those, and each chapter says it a little bit differently or brings in a different facet of the feast. So, briefly in Zechariah 14 talks about, say, someone like that who says, well, I'll only go up once a year, or I'll go up whenever I feel like it to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's not going to be one of you people out there listening to this broadcast on the Feast of Tabernacles days. It's going to be someone who's a peripheral fence sitter. And so it says in Zechariah 14:16, and it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem, now I better not be one of those, shall even go up from year to year to praise the King of Kings, Yahweh of the armies, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, my, they're going to have to pies, cakes, sleeping during the service, all that bondage going, and it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to praise the King, Yahweh of the armies, even unto them shall be no rain. So we want the rain, the latter rain, to fall upon us. Pour out the rain, pour out the rain, Yah, pour out the latter rain. Oh, come on down and bless us. Inhabit the house of praise. We want our tabernacles, our spirits to be the place where you would inhabit your praise and your people. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem, upon them no rain. If the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that they have no rain. Now this was not back in Old Testament times, because this has not happened yet. Yahweh has not literally come to earth the second time. Family of Egypt, if they don't go up, they have no rain. There shall be the plague. That'll be the plague, wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Smiting the heathen, that's a Gentile Hebrew word, 1471. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt, the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the... And that would be the punishments. So, period. And in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses separation, or kadosh, unto Yahweh, kadosh, separated, pure, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bulls before the altar. And I know the heathen have their practice, you know, in mysticism, the Oriental, those who are not true believers have they put out their little cups and offerings and food and drink offerings to their Elohim, but, you know, that's, it's all an imitation. But here it tells us that we're actually going to be doing some things here that seem rather strange. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be pureness unto Yahweh of hosts, and all they that offer. Now, what's this word, slaughter offerings? Well, if they're sacrifice, you know, slaughter offerings, they shall come and take of them and see therein, and in that day there shall no more be the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. We don't want to be guilty of being called a pagan, you know, or a fence-sitting, wishy-washy, fall-off-the-log kind of a believer, or a Christian person who follows the Christos, Elohims, and so on. We follow the Messiah, Yahweh HaMashiach here. We're not perfect yet, you know, we're on our way, we're getting more perfect every day as Yahweh's creating His righteousness in us, but no one here and no one out there in the entire world yet that I know of is perfect. They haven't arrived. So they all need to get on that, get going. What do we have here? Going into baptism now, because that's immersion, or some call it a mikvah. we talked about that. But immersing is part of the Feast of Tabernacles because it relates to and it is obedient to Yahweh's command of death, burial, and resurrection. It signifies the death of ourselves, as well as, you know, looking back to the death of Yahusha. Some call him Yeshua, but we say Yahusha here. And the resurrection of Yahusha. So our resurrection, we're being born again. And it happens here in the Feast of Tabernacles. When Yahweh is with us, He tabernacles with us. Immanuel comes to dwell with us, and so that's it. So Acts 19, the first 10 verses, talk about immersion there. Let's see what it says. And it came to pass, in Acts 19, came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, or emissaries, he said unto them, have you received the Ruach HaKadosh since you believed? Have you received the Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Ruach HaKadosh. Well, the Spirit, the Ruach, was mentioned in the earlier scriptures in the so-called Old Testament. I don't know why not. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Reading from the King James. And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said John, or said Paul, John verily immersed with the immersion of repentance. Oh, that was something not to be put down. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is, on Yahweh HaMashiach. When they heard this, they were immersed in the name of Yahweh HaMashiach, or Yahusha. Now we know it isn't L-O-R-D-J-E-S-U-S. We know it is not that, although we use that devoutly for 50, 60 years. Well, let's continue verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Ruach HaKadosh came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now that's all good. That still happens. I hear a lot of gibberish and silly wildfire going on, people rolling in the, you know, the Ruach is on this side of the assembly. No, he went over there. No, he's over on my side, you know, but that's disrespectful, and it's not true praise. So we read there about immersion. So please make an appointment with us if you can. Contact us by email. Hit the contact button there, and we'll tell you. If there's no minister around within a reasonable distance, then you still have the water. Do you have moving water somewhere, or a lake? And you know, have somebody around supervising to make sure you don't drown or something, but you can go down in the water and ask Yahvahosha to immerse you in the name of Yahvah HaMashiach, you know, in the name, if you want to say, in the name of the Father, Yahvah, in the name of the Son, Yahvahosha, and in the Spirit, Ruach HaKadosh, you could do that. But it's not three people up there or something, a tri-headed Roman Catholic God. It is Yahweh who immerses us. So what else do we have there on immersion? They have, sorry here, need better candles lit, I guess. Acts 22:16. We always have an immersion at the Feast of Tabernacles, as long as there's enough young people who have not fully dedicated their hearts and lives and surrendered. And now's the time to do that. Surrender to Yahweh. 22:16, Acts. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be immersed and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Yahweh. Wash away thy sins. 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that will I seek after, that I may dwell, or word should be tabernacle, in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up upon my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle praise offerings of joy, or slaughter offerings of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto Yahweh. Praise him forevermore, people throughout the world. Last month, this month, they are having the Feast of Tabernacles. Fantastic time. Chapter 43, verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy separated hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of Yahweh, unto Yahweh my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O Yahweh, my Yahweh. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in Yahweh, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, health, H-E-A-L-T-H, of my countenance, and my Yahweh. That was Psalm 43. So 46 then, first four verses of chapter 46. Hope you're enjoying the feast. Getting plenty to eat, lots of fruits, bananas. Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of Yahweh, the separated place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Yahweh is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Yahweh shall help her, and that right early, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Yahweh of the armies is with us. Yahweh of Yaakov is our refuge. Selah. Feast of Tabernacles, huh? Something I didn't know about 25 years ago, back in the 60s, 70s. There were plenty of Jews on the earth. They didn't tell us. Yeah, it took someone else to tell me. Psalm 118, verse 14 and 15. You are praising Yahweh today. You are here praising him. And it's not that you are, you know, that you are everything and you are so important just because he made you and made you important, but that he does covet your praise. He does desire for you to be here. You are significant. Okay, Yahweh is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of Yahweh. Yahweh has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise Yahweh, the gate of Yahweh, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Second day of the feast. This is the day which Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's Psalm 118, 118. Daniel 9:25. Let's go 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the Prince that shall destroy the city and the set apart place. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week he shall cause the offering and the oblation to cease. Messiah died in the midst of the week, of that particular year anyway. Hang on a second, I gotta go back to chapter 7. Yeah, it was 7. Daniel 7:25. The Ancient of Days has come. Verse 22. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now don't you try to go doing that on your own now. Or make some political thing out of it. Then he said, the fourth beast. And 10 horns. And then 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Now this is, like a great religious leader of a huge denominational church that has more people than any other in the world. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That would be the anti-Messiah. Now some people say, no, it's not him. It's not the Pope. It's, okay. But anyway, it's some great religious leader here. The anti-Messiah could be on this earth right now. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Why does our day begin at 12 midnight in the middle of the night? Why does our year begin in the dead of winter, in January 1st, when things do not start to grow? When Yahweh's time is around Passover, when things do grow, he would think to change. He made us politically and economically changed times and laws, but as far as the feasts go, we're still keeping Yahweh's calendar. We're not keeping his. We're not keeping the anti-Messiah, the Babylonian way. And he shall think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Now, there's a lot of symbolism there. Mark 10:40. Are we making ourselves ready? The bride making herself ready here at the Feast of Tabernacles. She's rehearsing. She is getting her spiritual house in order. What verse was that again, please? 40? Thank you. But to sit on my right hand, Messiah said. In fact, this could apply to us too. In verse 39, Messiah said, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the immersion that I am immersed with all, shall you be immersed. You know, the persecution, the suffering, that could be our peace. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give you, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. We definitely want to be prepared. Make ourselves ready. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Let's get ready. Not only turn off the garbage on the television. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for them that love him. Oh, I see. We have to love him? that Yahweh has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Yahweh. So we're looking for neither is things we haven't seen or heard or entered into our heart, even the things which Yahweh has prepared. We can't begin to speculate or imagine those things prepared for us, but He's preparing while we're out here yakking and complaining. And but Yahweh has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of Yahweh. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of Yahweh knoweth no man, but the Spirit of Yahweh. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of Yahweh, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Yahweh. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Ruach HaKadosh teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we ought to be doing. But, yeah, I know, you know, washing the clothes and all that kind of gets to you, getting out there and the noise or something sooner or later. 3:16, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and the temple of Yahweh. These are good notes. Know you not that you are the tabernacle of Yahweh, it says here, temple, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you, or tabernacle in you. If any man defile the tabernacle of Yahweh, him shall Yahweh destroy. For the tabernacle of Yahweh is pure, which temple you are. Try to remember that's in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. I know, I don't remember it either. Some of you do, if you're so mathematically or spiritually inclined. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Are you there yet? Okay, gotta hang on now. Hang on tight. We're going to read up to 10 and then verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5. For this we know, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of Yahweh, and house and tabernacle not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, our tabernacle, please. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon by His righteousness, yeah, that mortality might be swallowed up of life, that He that has wrought us, W-R-O-U-G-H-T, has wrought us, or He's, you know, worked in us, for the self-same thing is Yahweh, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit, or the guarantee of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from Yahweh. Now, that's not the prove the rapture theory, but for we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't care if it is in parenthesis. That's a good verse. Well, we walk by faith, not by sight. That's true. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with Yahweh. So someday we may just die and be in the grave for, you know, who knows how many years. But then the next second it will seem like we'll be present with Yahweh. Those who think that you die and go right to heaven, well, in a way, you know, they have the theory, or the concept, excuse me, they have the concept down right, because for all practical purposes, they won't know anything in the grave for it, even if it were 10,000 years, which it won't be, but the next second they'll wake up, so it would seem, and there he is, Yahweh face to face, if they're covered by Yahweh. They were saved by, not works, we're not saved by keeping the feast, commandments, we're saved by Yahweh. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear, all, A-L-L, appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of Yahweh, we persuade men. So isn't that something there? 2 Corinthians 5 in the the newer scriptures, it's telling us right there that we're still all going to appear, even though we're saved and set apart and filled with the Spirit, we're all going to appear before him and answer for the things done in the body according to that, whether it be good or bad. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's not necessarily that new is the best, you know, these days. Sometimes really, really old historical things are kind of neat. But in this case, we want to be new. We want to get rid of that old carnal nature because we are the temple of Yahweh. Okay, where else can we go? We're 2 Corinthians 5. So let's move on then to Hebrews. Let's move up to higher ground, to higher heights, deeper depths. Not only in the valleys, but in the highest of places that Yahweh would cause us to ride upon the high places of the earth during this feast. And we have about less than 10 minutes to go, so please be patient. Hang on for the ride. This will be worth it. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, telling us to come out of sin. Now, he is not taking true believers and training them to rule, reign, and to praise him in the future, necessarily. He's doing that now. We are in the process of spiritual growth. So let's read these verses in Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Messiah. Now, why would we want to leave that all behind? No. In other words, we're going to move on now, move up to higher. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Messiah, let us go on unto perfection. He said to be perfect even as our Heavenly Father is perfect in Matthew 5. Unto perfection, not laying again, over and over and over and over. Come on, we don't always have to cover the same ground. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. You know, we're reading the law all the time. We should be. Don't we know it? Well, we need to read it again to remind us. But not laying again the foundation from dead works and of faith toward Yahweh. Well, who wouldn't want to read about faith toward Yahweh? But we need to talk about it a lot. The faith comes from hearing the Word, hearing the Torah, hearing the book of Ephesians, Thessalonians, hearing it all. Of the doctrine, so not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward Yahweh, of the doctrine of immersions, which is that's good. But if you've already done it, well, you don't need to keep talking about it for you personally. And of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Well, doesn't that carry what's left then? And this we will do, if Yahweh permit, he says. And then he goes on to about the doctrine of eternal security there. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Ruach HaKadosh, so obviously, the Spirit was dwelling in them, the Ruach, and they have tasted the good word of Yahweh, and so on, that they should fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they impale to themselves the Son of Yahweh afresh, put him to an open shame. So hallel Yahweh, that you have been delivered from doing that kind of stuff. You don't want to impale him, or it says here, crucify, but impale him again on the tree every Sunday morning when they have their Lord's breakfast. Now, we don't want to go back, go forward, not back to Babylon. We don't want to go back to Egypt or Babylon or to the church we used to go to or any of that stuff, unless it's to go back and try to pull them out. Be careful, they'll pull you back. They will do that. Chapter 9, verse 11, and then chapter 8. I like to go to 9:11. First of all, here in Hebrews, which is in the newer scriptures, 9:11. But Messiah being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the pure place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. By the way, if you backed up a few verses that would tell us precisely what we should not have to do anymore from the scriptures in the older covenant, huh? I don't know if I said that right or not, but anyway, things that are no longer required, gifts and sacrifices, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. And back to chapter 8, do you have Yahweh's covenant written on your heart? Have you made a covenant? Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. I'm reading from Hebrews 8. A minister of the set-apart place, the Mikodesh, and of the true tabernacle, which Yahweh pitched, and not man. For every high priest, that could be talking about you, he is ordained to offer gifts and offerings, wherefore it is of necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer. And then, as you keep reading there, it'll talk about the new covenant. You could say, well, that's a future covenant, that he will write his laws into our hearts and minds. Or you could say it's now, it's a present covenant. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. If he writes them in there and then we go ahead and disobey what he wrote in our hearts and minds, that's absurd, that's crazy. And that is sin. I don't know what'll happen. I don't know the future of somebody like that. Almost done, but unfortunately. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their Yahweh. He shall be our commander-in-chief. He shall be our chief of chiefs. Our master, our redeemer, to whom we will be eternally grateful. Then back to chapter 12, 6 through 12, and then it's Shalom for now. Revelation 12, the Revelation. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of Yahweh, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. So you're going to be taken care of. Next verse, 7, 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his messengers, or angels, I should say, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So that's a parenthetical passage here, as well as future, and looking into the future. And the great dragon, now here's what is about to happen. All this temptation that we have is going to be completely eradicated, because the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and HaSatan, they still retain the Hebraic name for Satan, whereas they put JC for our Savior. HaSatan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels, his Elohim, were cast out with him. It's also found up there in chapter 20, verse 2. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of Yahweh, and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before Yahweh day and night. Yeah, he could accuse me, because I'd consider myself even, you know, pretty bad in some respects anyway, but thanks to Yahweh, I don't need to say that anymore. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm his vessel. I'm his tabernacle. Aren't you? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So I did. Did you? We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, you that dwell on them, or in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. and of the sea. For the devil, Ha-Satan, is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. That's kind of what that is what the Feast of Atonement is about, that we just passed, the Day of Atonement, Feast of Atonement, but that was on the 10th day of the 7th month. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with woman, and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh, oh, those legalists, and have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. So there it is. Feast of Tabernacles. Say, I am willing. I am humble. I ask for your pardon by the unmerited favor that you're giving me, by the favor of Yahweh HaMashiach. You've forgiven all my sins, and you, like rivers of water, just flush them all away. Just clean me whiter than snow. However, I need a little direction here, Yahweh, in the future. I need your spirit to not only guide me as I read the word, but be able to be a doer of the word and to walk in spirit-wrought righteousness, to have the standards established during the feast. Let us make a commitment right now to at all times. I want to walk in the spirit here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Thank you in Yahushua's name. Hallel Yahweh. Well, join us next time for the third day, Feast of Tabernacles. Shalom.